Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Welcome to part two of Jody Benson's episode of E-Ticket to Broadway. If you haven't heard part one yet, I'm going to need you to exit to the left-hand side of the vehicle and go listen to part one. For those who have already listened to part one, go ahead and pull down on the bar in front of you, pull on the yellow strap, and get ready to head under the sea with our friend, Jody Benson.
It's time for Fast Pass Answers!
Jody, here comes Fast Pass Answers. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm stressed out, but I'm ready. No, I'm ready. Here we go. Okay. I'll do my best. Give me a few extra seconds if I need it. Okay.
I will. Jody Benson, what is your favorite Disney Parks ride?
Everest.
Name any character from The Little Mermaid.
Scuttle.
Favorite snack in the parks?
Churros with chocolate hot sauce next to Splash Mountain.
True or false, Flounder is such a guppy.
Yes, Flounder is such a guppy. Don't be such a guppy.
Besides Ariel, name any Disney princess.
Elsa.
Favorite toy in Toy Story?
Piggy bank. Ham.
Name any of the fish mentioned in Under the Sea.
Newt. He plays the flute.
Time. Yes, the newt.
I'm going through the lyrics. The newt plays the flute, the bass plays the flute. I'm going through the whole lyric. I'm like, oh gosh, what's the name of a fish?
I know, what's the name of a fish?
I could never on a game show that has a timer, because once somebody says this is timed, I just like completely stress out. Like I'm dripping right now with sweat. I'm dripping.
What's funny is like I never say like you have to get 10 answers. It's just timed so that I'm encouraging everyone to say their instinct. That's all.
And then of course I can't say Everest. I have to say Expedition Everest.
My favorite was the incredible specificity with the churro.
Yeah. Wow. It is the brown cart on the right-hand side across from the turkey leg on your way to Splash Mountain, and you must stand in the line and get the hot sauce with the chocolate. It comes with it. Don't miss the chocolate cup. The cup comes with it, and people walk away. I'm like, give me her chocolate. She just ran away. Give me her chocolate. And they do. They give me other people's chocolate sauce. It's enclosed. It's clean, you know, but I'm like, dude, you just... $5.50 for your churro. Dude, it comes with the hot sauce. the hot chocolate sauce. So Delaney and I take everybody else's.
Just imagine there's this photo out there of some like really big Disney and Little Mermaid fan, and it's a picture of them with you, and you guys have chocolate sauce all over your face.
All over the place. And then right there, because you're right at the lagoon, are the wild birds. So if you do not watch your churro and you hold it up too high before you bite it, that thing, like a gray freaking heron, will dive bomb you like he dive bombed my daughter and I recently.
And took a bite of that churro.
Not a bite, half of it. So I have to go back to the trailer, to the truck. I'm so sorry, but the wild bird just ate my churro. And I'm sure it sounds like, you know, my dog ate my homework. And so she's like, that'll be another $5.50. Thank you. I'm like, okay. But I get more chocolate sauce. So.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
Here is your moment of trivia. Back in 1959, just 4 years after Disneyland opened, the Submarine Voyage attraction debuted. And during that summer, and then three other seasons between 65 and 1967, the park paid a group of performers $45 a week to hang out near the ride, dressed as what?
Oh my goodness. Mermaids.
It is mermaids. You're totally right.
I have no idea. I am just guessing, David.
Yeah.
That's a serious amount of trivia with a homeschool brain like I had. No brain cells left, by the way, but I took a good guess.
You were right.
Mermaids
you were very
for
right.
500, David. Mermaids for 500.
Yes, judges. She is right.
Now let's hear from some of you, huh?
Jody, we put on social media and hundreds of people reached out to ask their Disney questions. You are so loved. So we're going to jump right in. Xander actually has two questions. One, why are you so amazing? And two, what was your favorite scene to do the voiceover for in Little Mermaid?
If this is the Xander I know, this is my girlfriend's son, who is half of a twin. Half of a twin? Is that how you say that? Yes, Xander. Sure. I love you, Xander. First of all, that's very sweet. Why am I so amazing? Because I have amazing people like you in my life, Xander. My favorite scene is the entire song of Part of Your World that Glenn Keane animated so gloriously with Mark Henn. I just love that whole monologue that happens to be to pitch, but the animation and the expression of Ariel throughout that song is just breathtaking to me. So that is definitely my favorite.
Similarly, that girl underscore B asks, what is your favorite line from the movie?
I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love that. I couldn't get that line right. And Howard said that line for me. And that's really special. I love that line.
I love the, but Daddy, I love him.
Yeah.
That's
Howard too. That's Howard too. Yeah.
Great. Catherine asks, what do you wear when you record for animated movies?
If it were up to me, I would go in my pajam jams and my baseball cap. I can wear my baseball cap as long as I wear it backwards so that it doesn't hit the mic. And so I usually have braids and a baseball cap backwards. I usually wear some kind of comfy, cozy t-shirt, either my niece's Smiley for Kylie t-shirt or one of my Ariel t-shirts because I can. Nobody laughs at me when I do that. And then always workout pants / yoga pants and tennis shoes. It's a must.
Jordan asks a very important question because I'm a redhead. Would you ever consider dyeing your hair red like Ariel?
No, I would not. Because I think redheads are so very, very, very special that's what makes them so wonderfully unique, that I don't need to be like jumping in on their territory and, you know, taking away that perfect individual special quality. I wouldn't want to steal that from them.
It's the most beautiful thing you've said this entire episode. Thank you.
Now we're best friends. Are we BFFs, David?
Oh,
we're
for
BFFs.
Sure. Okay. We were BFFs from the 80s. You just didn't know that. Brandon asks, what was your favorite part of doing the voice for Ariel?
Oh, wow. Everything. I loved everything. I loved our directors. I loved working with Howard Ashman and Alan Menken. I loved the music. I loved my cast, our engineers, everybody behind the booth. They were incredible. From day one till the final day, it was such an amazing experience.
Mike wants to know, if you could work with any Disney or Muppet character, which one would you choose?
Ooh, I've never been asked that before. That's a great question. A Disney character. Which Disney character would I like to work with? As Ariel or as Jody? What do you think?
I think as Jody. Let's say as Jody.
Jody. Ooh, dear. Well, I'd love to work with all of the princesses and do another project of Princess Posse, a Princess Posse story. And that would be amazing. And then a Muppet character. I would like to work with Cookie Monster.
Oh, wow.
Because at least we know there will be lots of treats on the set. We'd always be covered with sugar.
Cookie Monster is an amazing answer. That's technically Sesame Street, but
oh no,
we have to allow it because it's so good. Because I love cookies.
Sesame Street. I'm thinking of the wrong people. Okay, so Muppets.
Muppets should be like Kermit, Miss Piggy.
I've got to work with Miss Piggy. I got to work with
a bold choice. I love that. Work with
her. Yeah, you know, she's a diva extraordinaire, and I'm anything but a diva. I'm like the polar opposite. So I bet we would be really good friends because I'm totally opposite of her, that I think I could bring her back down just a smidge, you know, into like, sister, come on, really. Let's get a little bit of humility here, girl. Yeah, Miss Piggy would be super fun to get to work with. Yeah.
Like Jesse asks, if you could be a Disney princess for the day, who would you be other than Ariel?
Elsa.
Got it.
Yeah, I think because, well, her powers are so cool that would be super fun. And I'm from Illinois, so I like snow. I like ice skating. I like to snow ski. And so, like, if I could do Elsa, I could really pretty much ski any time of the year.
Yeah.
That's really, really, really cool. And then get to sing all that great music while I'm doing it. Hello.
Yeah. I mean,
come on. Come on, those songs. And yeah, that would be so much fun. I would like to do that. I'd like to be able to ski here in Georgia when it's 104 degrees because I'm Elsa and I can just make it happen.
Well, I am friends with someone very close to Elsa, so I'll see what I can do for you.
Please make that happen for me.
I will. Logan, Craig, Nicole, Broadway Media, everyone is asking if you have a favorite memory of Howard Ashman or the greatest piece of advice he gave you.
I have both. Him in the studio standing next to me for every session, every line, every song, every lyric is something I will treasure forever. When I sing Part of Your World and the intro begins with the piano, wherever I am, whether it's symphony, piano only, whether I'm creating a video for someone in the hospital, I think of him and I see him. I see him in my mind and in my heart when I sing the song. So it's wonderful because I have instant memory recall every time I sing the song. And I sing the song multiple times a week. So it's a glorious memory that I get to selfishly have this moment to myself. People think I'm sharing the song with them, which I am, but deep down inside, I'm kind of reliving this magical time in my life, which is really glorious that I have that. Very thankful for that. Greatest piece of advice. Howard was a perfectionist. I was a perfectionist. So I learned how to let go and completely trust him that I didn't have to be so in control and have everything be perfect. And I learned from him that perfect doesn't mean what I thought it meant. Perfect means it means to be perfect at that moment in time, trying to tell that piece of the story. And that is the greatest advice I learned from him. And now that has impacted my whole life. Like anytime I do a concert, I always, always make a mistake. Always. And I've learned now that those mistakes, those messy parts are beautiful. Because in the messy comes the authentic. In the messy comes the real. In the messy comes the vulnerable. And that's when audiences can connect with you because you're not perfect. And they can say, oh, she gets me. She's just like me. So it's a lesson I learned from Howard that, you know, that impacts me every day of my life. And it's something I like to pass on to other people, that perfect is not, it's not important. You know, telling the story is the most important thing, and making that connection with people, letting them feel something. They've got to feel something when you're saying a line or when you're singing or when you're doing your movement or your choreography. People have got to feel something. So I'm so grateful to Howard for that lesson.
Jody, it's time for everyone's favorite game. This is, what's that word again? I'm going to give you a clue as to what word from the Disney universe I'm thinking of, and I need you to guess what that word is. The only thing is, I need you to answer first with the interjection, oh, and then the word. For instance, if I say, Buzz Lightyear always aims high, he sets his sights on infinity, and what's the word again? You would answer, oh, beyond.
Okay. I got that. Yes, sir. I'm ready. I'm sweating, but I'm ready.
Yeah, God. I'm so sorry. I don't want you to lose all your, you know, perspiration. Please be joyful.
Okay. I'm going to do my best. Here okay. We go.
I have total faith in you. What's the word again? Number one. In Beauty and the Beast, the enchantress transforms the prince into a beast and gives him a magic mirror and also this specific type of flower. What are they called again?
Oh, a red rose.
Yes, that's right.
Is that right? Okay.
That's totally
okay.
Right. Okay. And the O in front of it just makes it even better. So okay. Thank you. Okay, number two for what's that word again? This phrase from the Disney universe was first uttered by Julie Andrews, and I love it, even if the sound of it is something quite atrocious. What's the word?
Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's right. That's totally right. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me, I think. Thank you so much, Jody Benson, for playing this game with me. Okay, number three. Dory, the adorable fish in Finding Nemo with a not-so-great memory, continually utters three words, which encourages everyone to just keep, oh, what's that word again?
Oh, swimming. Just yes. Keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I love that song.
I feel like Ariel is also very good with that advice. She does keep, just keep swimming.
That's right.
In the movie Frozen, there is a lovely song called Love is an Open Door. And Anna and Hans both want to say the same word that describes what they both want to finish for each other. What's that word again?
Oh, sandwiches.
That's right.
Oh, is that sandwiches. Right?
That's totally right.
Okay. Nice. I had to think about that. Like, what? We finish nice. Each other's sandwiches. That's what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Oh, good. I'm surprised.
Even though now that we've seen Frozen, potentially Hans was not going to say that, but is just saying that in the moment.
Right.
Convince Anna.
He's a faker.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Okay. You're doing great. You're 4 for 4. Here comes number 5.
Do I win something? Are yes. There prizes? Like candy?
You win. I can send you candy, a churro. I'm going to send you some chocolate sauce.
A pot of chocolate.
Number five, we love Mickey Mouse. And in Fantasia, he's the apprentice to Yensid. And the word that describes Yensid's profession is what?
Oh, I don't know this one.
So Mickey is the...
A wizard?
Close.
A magician?
Closer.
Oh, a sorcerer?
Yes, sorcerer. Okay. Yes, there it is.
What are you talking about?
I know. People don't always know that his name is Yensid, which is Disney backwards.
I did not know that. I should know that.
Well, now you know. Okay. You still did it. You still got it. So
yeah, I kind of cheated though. You should probably take that one off. It should probably be I should probably get a blooper on that one, but okay. That's okay.
Here comes that sound effect. There it was. That was very exciting. Okay, number six. This is the word given to members of the creative force behind the Disney theme parks. They're the ones who think up the rides and shows. What do you call them?
Oh, Imagineers.
That's right. That's right.
I know that.
Very nice. Number seven, Mulan is one strong warrior. And in a moment of introspection, she takes a good look at herself in the water of a horse trough and sees this image looking back at her, which we call a, what's that word again?
Oh, when will my reflection show who I am inside? Reflection.
That's right. I will tell you, hearing Ariel's voice sing Mulan really just did numbers to my head. I don't know what's happening. Very like, what?
Right.
Okay, we've got three more. You're doing wonderfully. Okay. Number eight. Sometimes at the Disney parks, the lines are so long, we decide to grab these and then come back later in the day to basically cut the line. What's the word for them?
Oh, fast pass.
That's right. Are you a max pass person as well? Where you get on your phone and like you go for it?
Well, you know, when I'm working, we have our VIP guides.
Yeah,
that's right. When I go as a civilian, then I kind of just do that. Get the app and my Disney experience and my Disney Legends card, and we just go for it.
You know, if you were there and you wanted, and I was in line for Space Mountain, not only would I allow you to cut, I would say like, actually, will you just sit next to me?
Actually, I would take you and jump on the ride.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which is normally what we try to do when I'm there working. I'll just grab people. I'm like, hey, I get a party of 10. Who wants to come? Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Especially when it's kids and the line's like, you know, 3.5-4 hours or something like that. That's crazy.
I am planning a trip to Disney at some point with all of the guests of E-Ticket to Broadway, and it will be crazy and ridiculous, and we have to make it happen.
Oh, we have to make that happen, and I want to be there.
So number nine, Pinocchio becomes a real boy once he learns to tell the truth, but he starts the movie as this type of doll. What do you call them again?
Oh, the proper name was a marionette.
That's right. I was going to accept marionette or puppet.
Yeah.
But you went for the fancy version.
Well, I think he's supposed to be a marionette.
Definitely. Right? Yeah, definitely marionette. Okay. Very, very well done. Here comes our final. Okay. What's that word again? Very excited. I really think this one you're going to nail.
Okay.
Number 10. These two anatomical structures appear at the end of a human's legs. What's that word again?
Oh, feet.
That's right. You did it. Yay! Congratulations, Jody. You did wonderfully well.
I win the churro and the chocolate sauce.
You do. I'll be sending that and making sure that no birds attack on the way there.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, silly. We'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, with this reminder.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Jody, here comes Tweedledee or Tweedledum. It's a favorite game we play. However, for this version, it's going to be called Who's It's or What's It's. I'm going to say two options. You let me know which one you prefer. Okay. So, Who's It's or What's It's, fireworks show over the castle, or a parade down Main Street? Which do you
fireworks
prefer?
Fireworks over the castle. Fireworks down. Over the castle for 500.
For 500, great. Who's It's or David. What's It's? So funny to me. Who's It's or What's It's, Pirates of the Caribbean, or the Haunted Mansion?
Pirates of the Caribbean, hands down.
Wow. Okay. That one's controversial. I'm with you, though.
Okay.
There's something I like about pirates better.
Oh, yes. Yes. 1,000 times. Yeah.
Who's It's or What's It's, Under the Sea, or Kiss the Girl?
Kiss the Girl. Kiss the Girl. I am a huge Kiss the Girl fan, especially on the attraction at Walt Disney World when the frogs are... kissing, oh, it's my favorite. My favorite scene.
Who's It's or What's It's, Fantasyland or Epcot?
Fantasyland, of course.
Yeah, sometimes I throw one in, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, Fantasyland.
And your final Who's It's or What's It's, Prince Eric or Ken?
Oh, no, you did not just
I
go
did.
There.
And you, listen, this is a happy, joyful podcast. You can pass. You can say they're both wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to go with Eric.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Prince Eric. I am.
I'm with you.
Ooh, that was hard.
Because we get to see Prince Eric and Ariel fall for each other. I feel like when we meet Ken and Barbie, they're already together.
Yeah, and it's kind of fake because he's really fake.
It's a little plastic, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's very plastic. And he's very mean, you know? He's mean. And then he kind of changes and stuff. So I think I'm going to go with Eric. Eric from the beginning. Yep.
Yeah. Jody, the next time you go to a Disney park, what's the first thing you want to do?
Oh, the very, very, very first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to walk down Main Street and I will proceed from the beginning of Main Street until I end up in front of the castle, taking anywhere from 500 to 600 photos at every step of the way with my children. And they're so good about this because they know this is what's going to happen. And they've learned at the age of 19 and 21, you just go with it. Just go with mom. I have to capture everybody seeing it and then walking along the way. And then we stop and then we stop and then we stop. And we stop at probably 15 times. And then I like to take that final picture right in front of the castle with nobody in front of me. Very specific place, and then we jump, and then we hold hands, then we jump. I am such a crazy mother when it comes to that. It's like, that's all I ask for. And then the rest of the time, it's a free-for-all. But I have got to have the Main Street and the castle photo. It's a must. It's the first thing, and it has to just be right.
That is not crazy at all. Are you kidding me? My favorite tradition is turning the corner on Main Street by the Emporium to see the castle with my mom. And if I'm there without her, we FaceTime. Yeah. But that image,
yes. Oh, yes. I love that you do that.
Yeah. Come on. That's the magic. It's when I love to think of it. It's Main Street represents kind of what we know, Americana, structure. And then down the way, we can see fantasy. Yeah. And that's that image where you see the gas lamps on the sides and the stores and, you know, yeah, commerce and socialism and all this stuff. And then you look down and you're like, there's magic. There's a, it's purposeful.
It is. It is. And the statue of Walt and Mickey, it's my favorite. I just love that. And it's like a family tradition, I think, of just capturing what everybody's feeling and what they're thinking. It's the time where we kind of let go of the reality of what life is like or what's going on and all around us, and we just get to sort of escape and become a little kid and we start skipping down Main Street.
Yeah, you know, we will make our home in Disneyland.
That's right. And when I get to Disneyland, I will stay. I will stay.
I wish we could stay there. I totally would. Well, Jody, thank you. I cannot thank you enough for joining me on this episode. It means so much to me, and I'm sure for those listening as well.
Well, you're so kind, David, and I so appreciate you inviting me to have some fun with you today. This was wonderful. I loved every minute of it, and I'm excited. I hope that we can meet in person very, very soon, and I'd love to meet you at the happiest place on earth.
That sounds wonderful. So thank you, Jody, and we'll see you at the parks.
Yes, sweetheart. See you soon.
Oh boy, thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.